Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Enchant World podcast. My name is William Bloodworth, and I'm the host of this show. You might also know me as Squee Goblin Nabob on Twitter, or as one of the hosts of the Monday Night Magic podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, which admittedly is pretty reasonable given this is the second episode, Enchant World is a podcast where I place topics on the enchantworld.com website and encourage people to submit their own stories related to it. I then take all of the submissions for a given topic, do a little baseline editing to smooth things out, and then compile them into an episode. The goal is to show different perspectives on the same topic and hopefully build empathy within the Magic the Gathering community. You can find an excellent example of this, in my opinion, in the first episode, which tackled the topic of your introduction to the game and the first event that you've ever attended. Since launching this project in 2015, I've encountered one challenge, namely that getting enough content together is not compatible with a regular release schedule. So in an attempt to address that in this second episode, I'm actually breaking format already. I reached out to a member of the community on one of the existing topics and conducted an interview that I hope will serve as a catalyst to get the conversation started again. The topic for this episode is exploring the interest of people who enjoy Magic who don't actually want to play in the competitive tournament scene. The format in particular, however, is a discussion of what you would expect at a Magic event that's not based around a tournament. We're talking conventions and other gatherings of people who are interested in Magic, but who don't want to grind their way through a long event. For that, I've invited on Christine Sprankle, known for her cosplay and her appearances at a number of Magic events, and we're going to talk specifically about our experiences with other conventions and what we'd like to see in a Magic convention. As a fair warning, at one point we discuss 18-plus panels at anime conventions. There's nothing gratuitous or terrible there, but because we are discussing adult language, some of it is utilized, and rather than edit that and make things confusing, I've just left it in and will be marking this episode with an explicit tag. This doesn't go on for very long, but I know some people are sensitive to language, and so this is your warning. As I mentioned before, the goal of this episode is to generate future conversation on this topic and others. So please keep that in mind as you listen, and if you have any rebuttals or any comments, feel free to go to enchantworld.com and go to share your story, and you can record your response directly through the browser app, or you can submit it to planeswalker.squee@gmail.com. And so now, without further delay, the interview. Joining me today is Christine Sprankle, who most people listening have probably seen on Twitter or in various other places in the Magic community. And we're not going to talk about cosplay. We're going to break the mold and we're going to talk about the other fun parts of our mutual hobby, which is we like to go to conventions. We enjoy going to events that aren't just people sitting around and playing Magic and calling judges and waiting for miserable pairings and seat numbers and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that's me adding my bias already. But Christine, how long have you been going to conventions?
I've been going to conventions since around 2004.
Okay, so a reasonable amount of time. That's 12 years?
Yep, I'm on my 12th year.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I've been going to conventions myself since 98, I think. So, yeah, it's a bit of a life journey.
Oh, so you're like right in the fresh. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been going to conventions, at least anime conventions, long enough to see the general trend shift of attendance from back when it was a heavily shifted towards male hobby to now when it's honestly a little biased towards female.
Yeah, I would.
It's kind of nice to see that happen over time.
The evolution, which Magic is slowly going through right now.
Yeah, that's certainly true from what I've seen. It appears that the gender scale, while by no means balanced, is at least starting to correct itself.
Yeah, like I literally, when I first went to my first couple of Magic events, you could count on just one hand the other girls, including myself, that were there. And now we're on like toes, you know, we're fingers and toes. So it's getting really good.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've also noticed that Wizards has been doing a pretty great job of trying to get past the general imagery that we've previously associated with all of these events by having more women involved in coverage, more women involved in generating content for the website. Things are starting to, at least on some level, look like they're balancing out. I know a few years ago, they released a statistic that showed that vastly more women play Magic than attend Magic events by ratio. And so it's sort of one of the things that I try to do with this show is try to find out why that is and see what we can do to both make women feel more comfortable or more interested in attending events and make people who may not be helping with that process understand what they're doing and how to stop it. So that said, though, what we're talking about here is not going to be Magic tournaments. We're talking about conventions, and this conversation sort of jumped into my head as a possible topic a few weeks back when on Twitter you'd made a comment about how you wanted to see a Magic convention.
Yeah, I went on one of my famous, like, rampages on Twitter, where I pretty much complained about why it's silly that we don't have a convention just for Magic. And the response was amazing. And I also had a lot of responses where people were confused, saying that GPs every weekend pretty much were Magic conventions and they don't understand what more could you want.
Which is pretty interesting to hear as someone who's been to conventions.
Yeah, for me, I was kind of at first like I was at a loss for words. I was just like, okay, let me tell you just how much more there could be if there was an actual Magic convention. Like, a GP is close, but at the same time, it's way off the mark.
So, like, what are some of the ways where it's close? Just to give people a baseline.
It's close that, I mean, it is a huge gathering of people who are interested in the same thing, which is Magic. It has an artist alley. It has vendors. And pretty much stops there. But the problem is with a GP, it's 100% the focus and the purpose of this thing, of this event, it's all about the Magic tournament. The main event is a Magic tournament. A convention would not be focused, or its main focus be on a tournament. It would be on all aspects of the Magic community. Which people are like, well, what else is there, like, other than playing Magic? And it's like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because of the conventions that I go to, even the ones that have one focusing element, like, say you go to an anime convention. Well, not everyone who goes to the anime convention goes for the same reasons. And that's, I think, one of the big differences between a convention and a tournament. Like, the vast majority of people who go to a tournament are there to either play the game in the big tournament, or maybe in the side events, or to judge it, or something centered around that. Whereas, when you go to an anime convention, you might be there for 100% different reasons from the next three people you talk to.
Yeah, and a bunch of people tried to argue with me that a GP pretty much is a convention if you take it in the term that it's a like a gaming convention. And I still disagree, because usually even at gaming conventions, they still have panels about the whatever game you're playing, you know, how-tos. You know, they have special guests there. And it still misses the mark for me, even if you want to quote-unquote call it a game convention.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. It's something where maybe the best way to explain to people what they're missing out on is to go into some of the things that you enjoy when you go to a convention that's not a Magic tournament. To give them some examples.
Yeah. So one of my biggest things at conventions is there's usually panels. And panels can be, like in anime, it's panels literally where people just gather to talk about their favorite anime at the moment. panels where they have voice actors from whatever anime come and, you know, just talk about the anime and take fan questions. There's a lot of cosplay panels, like Cosplay 101, wig styling. You can learn so much at a convention in a fun space of a little hour at these panels. And that's one of my favorite things to do. I don't know if you have more to add on the deliciousness that is panels.
When it comes to panels, like usually they break down between official guest industry run type things.
Exactly.
Or completely 100% fan things, which can go in all sorts of directions.
Exactly.
The magic analogs to this would be like if you had the people from R&D running a panel like they do at some PAX events or things like that, where they talk about how they make the game.
Yeah.
But separate to that, you might have a panel that would be featuring, you know, the actual pro players and about how they go through pro life, or a panel run by the artists who are all gathering together, like all the artists who've worked on a given block, or at least the key art designer people. And you learn more and more about the game from each one, but they also have Q&As, they have giveaways a lot of the time. You got stuff like that. But then when you wander over to the fan panels, that's where things are a lot more freeform. Like, that might be where you get the one where people get together and they just straight up argue up and down whether or not there's too much Jace, which would definitely be a topic if that ever came up. Or they might be people who get together and just sort of, like, you know, pour one out for Extended, which was once their favorite format a long time ago. Like, this is where the older school fans who not necessarily are who Wizards is going to target with the modern communication can get together and be like, hey, we all really enjoyed playing Onslaught Limited, and that's just a panel that they run. Or they might go even weirder with it. Like, I've seen instances where people do just straight-up comedy, like fake game shows and stuff like that.
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be so much fun, too.
It could be trivia. It could be improv. I've seen improv sketches.
I would love to see a Planeswalker. Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, and it just seems like the kind of thing that there's enough of a world built, enough characters in it, and just so many people that are interested in these parts of the game that you can have a ton of fun surrounded by it. And one of the things that I found about conventions is that even if you just go for the panels without all the other things that it has to offer, you can just sit back and enjoy it. Like, there's no rush. There's no,
I need to make it to the next. Yeah, I need to go to this next round.
If you want to eat, you just go eat.
Yeah, and see, that was the biggest thing I had. Like, the problem that I had was a lot of people who are hardcore Magic players, they pretty much just ask, like, what more is there? And the thing is, people need to understand is the Magic community has grown over the years, and it's not just about Magic players anymore. Like, you don't have to be, I know this sounds so strange to some people, but you literally do not have to be a Magic player or play Magic to be part of the Magic community. And I know that blows some people's minds, but I only get to play because I have regular job and I got to work on cosplay. I only get to play Commander like a couple of times a week. And there's sometimes where I go like a whole month with not playing any Magic at all because I don't have the time. But does that make me like, do I suddenly, if I stop playing Magic, does that mean I'm not part of the community? I would really disagree, because in that month that I didn't play Magic, I probably went to two different GPs and a convention, all in Magic cosplay.
Yeah, you're probably rocking more hours involved in Magic versus hours actually playing Magic than most people in general. The lead host of the Monday Night Magic podcast and the Manipool podcast, Chewy, and so he's been doing Magic podcasting for nearly a decade. He's got two shows. They each come out weekly. He also runs a ton of Magic content for his YouTube channel and all this other stuff. Like, this is what he does for a living. He's like a professional Magic fan, as weird as that is.
Amen.
And that's it. Like, he lives on Patreon. He does all of this stuff. He, you know, sells sleeves. He does all these things. I have not seen him play Magic in a very long time. And it's not that he doesn't like playing Magic. He plays Magic casually with his friends whenever they get together, and life gets harder as you get further and further away from a dorm room for gathering people like that. And so now he goes to GPs and he doesn't play, but when he shows up at a GP, he walks around with a microphone recorder ask questions to everyone he runs into. And then at some point in the distant future, he'll actually get around to editing all of them and releasing them. But he generates Magic content constantly, separate from just sitting down and playing in Standard. And I found that a lot of podcasters don't play a lot of Magic anymore because they've got a limited amount of time in the week and they choose to produce content instead of play it.
Exactly. And so I just, for the hardcore grinders who make up most of the GP, you know, numbers, it's really hard for them to wrap their heads around that a lot of the Magic community now has grown past, actually, it's grown more than just a game. Literally, it is a community, which it's, communities aren't just games, it's more than that. And people just can't quite grasp that. And that's why I want a convention, because I want something that's not just focused on a tournament. I want it focused on all aspects of the community, which there would still be a place to play Magic, of course.
Yeah, I mean, even anime conventions have game rooms where people play.
Exactly, because a bunch of people like panicked and they're like, well, so you're just saying no tournament. I'm not saying just abolish the tournament. I'm just saying...
That would be difficult.
Exactly. I would just say it's not the main focus. That's the thing I'm trying to stress the most, is it's not like we schedule everything around the tournament. We make a huge schedule for all aspects of the community, for podcasters, for artists, for cosplayers, for like people who alter cards, who make Magic accessories. Like, there is a huge well of just things and absolutely inspiring just stuff to make up an entire convention, and the whole theme would be Magic the Gathering. I'm sorry.
No, that's like, good. Well, that's it's one of those things that it's really easy to get passionate about because it's a big part of your life. And it being reduced to how much time you spend in a tournament really takes away from that.
Yeah, because I mean, when I'm at a GP, literally my schedule is I get there early, pretty much like right after round one start, because before the whole tournament begins, it's just utter chaos and nobody wants to pay attention to a goofy dressed girl. But I literally spend most of my GP just kind of waiting in between rounds just so that people are not doing something, just to actually enjoy the rest of what the GP has to offer. So I want a whole weekend centered around those in between times, that in between rounds time. I mean, that was like that. That's how I got through a few people on Twitter, was I want a convention is in between rounds.
Exactly.
But not as stressful.
Well, you also want a convention where if you run badly for 3 hours, you're not done.
Oh, exactly. And it happens to a lot of people. That's just how...
I mean, it has to.
That, yeah, exactly. That's how a tournament goes. Exactly. Like, half the time on Sunday, I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear this costume. And somebody's like, oh, I'm sad. You know, I'm not going to be able to see it because I didn't make day two and I'm leaving. Because there's just nothing else to hold them there. Like, I think I look real badass in my armor, but when you got to drive home, you know, 4 to 6 yeah. hours, like, you're going to want to peace out, not stick around. So I think for a convention, what if there's like a couple of, you know, panels on Sunday that you just, oh my God, I can't miss.
I think the ideal scenario to reach would be the point where if someone is playing in a tournament and they're not having a great day, but they're not entirely out, and they just have to decide, so do I want to keep going at this knowing the odds are against it? Or would I have more fun if I went over there where they were playing Magic Jeopardy, and then after that we all went out and saw some Magic-themed music concert that was going on, and then a dance or something?
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
I mean, that's what we do at anime cons. Like, there's no main event.
So, I mean, that's exactly what happens. It's just like, what time is it? Oh, it's around 5. Well, you want to go get some food and then, like, head back and go to the dance or something? Hell yeah.
Just wander back and see then what everyone else is doing. Like, a lot of the other fun at an anime convention in particular is just people watching. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. And then at night, at a lot of anime conventions, depending on which ones you go to, they have a lot of 18-plus events, which I don't mean...
They're not what you think they are.
Yeah, they're not naughty things. It's just you can finally let go and say fuck.
It's a lot like you show up for a TV channel. there are certain things that you can and can't say before 9 p.m. It doesn't make it incredibly crude, but they have to acknowledge there's family-friendly time, and then there's, okay, we've all had a long day, let's just chill time.
Exactly, and I can think of a ton of different things you could do at a magic convention for later on in the night that would be, like, considered 18 plus. Like, I can think of a few podcasts where just to sit down and listen to, like, a live broadcast of a couple of the podcasts for 18 and plus night would be fantastic. I would 100% go.
There are a number of them with explicit tags, and
exactly,
it's not because they're doing anything wrong. They're just adults, and they speak like adults who've had a long day.
Exactly, and I would love to sit in on a couple of, you know, late night podcasts, and I would love to meet a few of the podcasters that I've never, you know, that are halfway across or on the other side of the U.S. of A, like you are, and just be able to BS with them, like, in person.
I will say that on that note, for the Monday Night Magic podcast that I'm also on, we put out pretty long podcasts. They're usually somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, an hour and a half to 2 hours long each week, and they're covering all the news and all of that. We record for about 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're editing a lot. Some of it's silence truncation, but most of it is for about an hour before we start and for about 2 hours after. We just sit around talking, sending each other internet links, look at cat pictures, all kinds of nonsense, talk about movies that are full of spoilers. We just, that's what we do. This is how we hang out with our friends, and this is the time of week when we do that. And when I go to tournaments, like, in a few weeks, I'm going to be at GP Charlotte, and I'm not playing. I'm there to hang out. It's going to be great.
I'm not either.
It's going to be a lot of fun because I'm not showing up to be in a tournament, so there's no stress. I'm not looking up decks. I'm not learning Modern. I'm not doing any of that. I'll probably bring a Commander deck just in case I feel like playing, just so I have the option, but I'm not planning on going nuts with this. I'm going to be there with all of my internet friends, and it'll be like Twitter in person, and then I'll find out which people I actually hate and which ones just type like jerks. And that'll be a lot of fun. Like, I'm looking forward to it. You know, we'll all get together. We'll go out for meals. We'll hang out. Or, no, last year at GP Charlotte, we had a podcaster dinner where just all the podcasters got together. And we just, it was weird because you knew all these voices and you had no idea who the people were until they started talking. But then we all ate. We hung out. We had, like, a 3-hour dinner. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did one of those dinners and we wore, like, hello, my name is, and it was my Twitter handle. Just so you know who you're actually talking about, like, talking to. Is great.
At an anime convention, you meet the people that you've met online. And at a magic tournament, you do that, but at a magic tournament, you know, you might only get a few minutes to talk before they run off to do something, because there's just no actual downtime until you're out, in which case you're probably depressed.
Yeah, you're not in the mood. You're just done.
You don't want to just loom around someone when they're feeling like that, because you understand it, but you know, you're here to be social, and they're all just like, I need to have an hour. And then they wander off, and you hope they find ice cream or something reassuring.
Something comforting.
But yeah, I mean, like that said, a lot of the Magic GP experience, I don't know about the Pro Tours, because I've never been to one of those. They seem a lot smaller.
Yeah, it's, they're weird, because it's literally a GP even more hardcore, because they are 10 times more intense and more focused on the event and hardly any downtime, because they really have that, you know, running like clockwork. So it's very different.
So the event can't slow down. Like, there are people watching all over the world, and that's a lot of stress for the people putting it on. Whereas that,
exactly,
I have seldom been to a convention that doesn't have at least one or two events run behind. And usually the people don't really care because you're hanging out in a giant crowd with all your friends. And so, oh no, we're starting 10 minutes late. And then, you know, 15 minutes later or whatever, when the event's actually going on, you're like, oh, hey, that's really cool. There's that guy who did a voice from a cartoon that I saw, only now he's saying dirty words, and it's hilarious. I mean, I don't want to pretend that it's all that, but that is part of the fun of it. It's just the full escapism. And from what I've seen of the Wizards of the Coast employees, they really enjoy that part of it, and we're like, they don't play a whole lot of Magic anymore either. I mean, it's their job, it's their life. They'll play it for fun. I mean, they enjoy it, but I'm pretty sure they have a lot of fun with things like, you know, escape rooms and stuff like that whenever they get to run those too.
Yeah, it still blows my mind that they just, some people can't see what a convention, a Magic convention could bring. And I had a lot of people straight up tell me that they just don't think a Magic convention would work, because unlike Blizzard, who does its own, it has its own convention, they're like, well, Magic, it's just the one game. It's not like Blizzard where they have Diablo, Overwatch, you know, all like StarCraft and all these other games to bring content with. And I was just, I had to literally at that point where people told me they don't think there's enough content in Magic to fill up a whole weekend for a convention, I had to step away from the computer.
It's a pretty bold statement when you're talking about a game that's been running for more than 20 years, has at least 10 fully fleshed out worlds, and a long-running backstory. But beyond just those elements of it, realistically speaking, if you wanted to just talk Magic content, there's all of the nonsense online. We have our own memes, we have our webcomics, we have the entire mess of Twitter that grows every day. And then when it comes to Magic itself, I mean, they have Magic. They have Magic Online, which is a slightly different animal. They've got Duels of the Planeswalkers. They've got the board game, you know, the Arena of the Planeswalkers. They have a lot of stuff, and it's only going to grow. And on top of that, you could probably cheat and acknowledge that this being Wizards of the Coast, if some Dungeons and Dragons people wander in, we will welcome them. Like, that's cool. I go to anime cons where the Star Wars people show up. It's like, nice armor. It's required.
Yeah. You see a couple of stormtroopers walking around. It happens. Yeah.
Once people realize they could dress like Deadpool and just go anywhere and be an internet meme, they just went for it. No, it's obnoxious.
Yeah, I kind of hate seeing him now, I'm not going to lie.
Tangenting into the world of Deadpool. Putting on a Deadpool costume is like your license to be over the top. Like, it's your license to be like the anonymous person you are online, and that makes you a jerk.
An asshole.
But that said, I've seen some pretty great Deadpools over time, too, who actually play it well. But when it comes to Magic, who would we have to do that? Yeah. Would it be Jace? Would we just continue picking on Jace? I mean, I could see some goblins getting into trouble.
It would have to be Jace. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100% it would just be Jace. Everybody could pick on him nonstop. I know I could, at least. My hatred runs deep for him, but you know.
Well, it's one of those things where you really just want to see the scene when you're walking through an event where you have Jace who's sitting there being bullied by Tybalt in, like, you know, a varsity jacket or some nonsense that comes out of a Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. And that's just the kind of crap that you would expect to run into at a convention that's been around long enough that people don't just want to go as the standard versions of characters after a while. They want to make their own twist. And there's so many different outfits for all of these planeswalkers at this point that you can do that. Mark Rosewater said that the closest analog that we have to planeswalkers are comic book characters. Like, they're superheroes. And I believe that. And we have conventions for superheroes.
Yep.
So it's not that big of a stretch.
No, and it just, there's literally just like pick, there's so many different podcasts like about the different aspects of Magic. It's like pick a podcast, pick a, like 3 or 5 or 10 different podcasts, and you have more than enough content for one day at a convention. So I think more people, and see, that's why I also think a convention would be great, is for people who think that don't think that there's enough of Magic to make a convention, to actually be able to go to a convention and you get to experience the different aspects of Magic. And I think that's why a convention is really important to expose, I guess you could say, these grinders and these kind of one-track-minded Magic players to other aspects of the community. And maybe they'll grow into something special, you know, something big thing like cosplay or something. They'll be their own little special member in the community that really contributes and maybe change somebody's life. Like, I have a ton of people all the time. Literally after every GP, I get a flood of messages from a bunch of girls and women from all over saying it was just really nice to see somebody, women represented at it, you know, this GP that isn't playing. Because I hate that stigma that, especially with women, that you have to be good at the game too. Like, really good at whatever game you play to be relevant. And I think I'm showing in Magic you don't have to be really good at the game to be relevant and still be a huge contributing member.
That actually brings up another nice thing about it, is that Magic conventions at their core are a competitive thing. And not all people are competitive. And certainly not all people want to go to the level that it takes to have a reasonable shot at being competitive at these events. When you sit down at a later table, if you've been doing well, you've been running well enough, you will hit this threshold where you're playing at someone who has logged hundreds of hours playing the deck that they're using, or very similar decks in the past. And whatever you're doing has to be near perfect with a little bit of luck on your side to continue winning from that point onward. And some players are willing to commit to it, and they're willing to go all in on it, and to get in essentially the reps and the repetitions. I personally am not. I've got enough other hobbies and interests going on in my life to not focus solely on that. And I really appreciate the idea of a non-competitive event where you leave on Friday morning to go to this event with no stress, without your mind going through what's in this set, what's going to beat me, who are my good matchups, like having none of that. And instead just planning on showing up, seeing your friends, meeting the people that you want to meet from the internet, be they celebrities or just friends. And at the end of the weekend, looking back on it and saying, I want to do that again. And not everyone gets to do that at a tournament. And a lot of people, as a result, won't go.
Yeah, I have, like, most of my playgroup, they don't go to GPs at all. They don't play Magic like that. And that's not fun to them. And usually they just end up giving me cards for artists to sign. But those are the people who want a convention. And those people probably outnumber the GP goers easily, like at least 2-1, without a doubt, if not more for sure.
I guess the Hasbro report said that we had, you know, more than 1 million active Magic players in the tournament scene. Based on the number of Magic packs sold, there's no way that only 1 or 2 million people play Magic. That's completely absurd. There are way more people that play it that don't go to these events, but who still enjoy the game. Just as a little tangent, while I was trying to think of what kind of events at conventions I would like to see translated to Magic, you're probably familiar with this. So cosplay chess.
Oh my god, that would be fantastic.
So for people that have never heard of it, cosplay chess is a game. It's chess, obviously. If you remember Wizard Chess in Harry Potter, you have a giant chessboard, you know, a big 8x8 grid.
Yeah, human-sized.
Human-sized. And you have two people playing chess with, like, their tiny little chessboards. But whenever you have a piece on the little board, it corresponds to a real person in a costume on the big board. You might have, like, the simple battle of, like, Marvel versus DC, where one side might have, like, Superman and Wonder Woman in the back. But whatever the case, you match them up with whatever abilities make sense. Batman, of course, gets to be a knight, all that stuff. Then over on the Marvel side, you have, you know, similar things. And so whenever the pieces move on the little boards, the people playing them move on the big board. But whenever pieces go to capture each other, everyone clears out the space and they fight.
And it's a lot of fun. It doesn't get, like, bloody or anything. But it's great. It's great.
Because both sides know who's going to win. So they just have a lot of fun with it. And the idea of doing that with Magic would actually be pretty entertaining if instead of playing chess, they were actually just playing Magic.
You know what would really entertain me is they could do different forms of it too. Not just like, you could do like a cosplay edition, or you could do what I would think would be great would be like have pro players act as certain cards. And just have like a star, like a celebrity match. That would be great.
Well, could you just imagine if you had, like, Craig Wesco and his side was nothing but pawns?
I would die.
Really efficient pawns. And you just have all of these Magic players as stand-ins who have to slowly march forward and do what they can to overtake things. And then whoever gets to the end gets to become an Elspeth or a Gideon or something. Like, that'd be a lot of fun. I think people would enjoy it. And that's, like, the world of weird stuff. If you've never been to an anime convention, you probably never thought cosplay chess would be a thing. But they're really huge. And if you give Magic enough time in a convention environment, things will just start to happen. You get together that many creative people, and something will happen.
I was about to say, it's a very creative community. I think we could probably come up with something even better than cosplay chess easily.
Yeah, I'm sure we could. I mean, just like you were saying before, look at all of the different things that we've tackled, and podcasts and websites. heart altars and all this stuff. There's a million things that we could do. But until people start really considering it as a viable option, it's just going to be, you know, pie in the sky.
Yeah, and we still, I think we just need it to at least happen once. The people who aren't used to it are exposed to it, so their opportunity is open to them. And maybe they'll contribute their own little method of cosplay, you know, magic chest or something. I see nothing but positive for a magic convention, positive outcome.
Yeah. And so I guess that's as good a spot as any to, you know, settle on, let people think about it. And then I believe one of the replies to your thread on Twitter was that Wizards had been considering something like that a few times. And so sort of stay tuned and maybe.
Yeah. Helene, is she the global director?
Ellen Bergeau?
Yeah.
I don't actually remember her current title, but suffice it to say, she can speak for a lot.
Yeah, she's a big head honcho, and she pretty much said, Wizards, they're talking about it. It's not like it's not ever going to happen. It's definitely being talked about.
She's the director of global organized play.
There we go. I was like, global director of something. There we go.
Nice. Yeah.
Can't remember I can't remember card names. I can't remember titles.
Look, the people in the booth probably can't remember card names a lot of the time, let alone pronunciations. Yeah. You could have an entire panel, which is just someone explaining how you've been pronouncing Garrick wrong for the last 10 years.
Or yeah, how I've been saying Jaya Ballard wrong.
Is Jaya Ballard wrong?
No, Jaya Ballard's the right way. I thought it was Jaya.
I'm like, don't tell me this. You're going to ruin everything.
No, I had no idea how to apparently say her name.
I've been saying plenty of them wrong. And that's the fun part about doing podcasts is that people only know you by what you can pronounce. And if you ever want to know how to pronounce something, just say it out loud and then wait till the next day. You'll find out. If you ever are wrong about what a card does, they will tell you immediately.
Yeah, you'll get called out pretty fast.
Like, no matter what, like, these are people that are just waiting for that chance. And you could probably have an entire Magic tournament, which is nothing but people saying, what does that card do? Like, and then just have a swarm of piranhas waiting to pounce on them as soon as they get anything wrong. And that would be an event.
See, the panels are there. The content's there. Like, conventions just, it needs to happen.
I think it's a fun thing, and we'll see it. I mean, at the very least, as long as they continue to do things like magic cruises and other things that aren't strictly a tournament, that are more family-oriented and more like bring-a-friend kind of stuff, we'll make our way there. But I'll certainly keep an eye out for what Wizards is doing, because I am a lot more likely to travel for a magic convention than I am for any given tournament. And I don't think we're alone in that.
Nope, not at all. Yeah, I literally had people from, like, Australia and Germany say they would fly to America in a heartbeat for a magic convention. No questions asked.
And that sounds pretty good. I would also just like to have more opportunities to meet people who don't take the game as seriously, because they're hard to find at tournaments too.
Yeah, exactly. Where the main gathering, you know, points at weekends are tournament based, and you're not a tournament based like community member. It's a little hard to find others like minded.
They're out there, and we'll inevitably find them in something. At the very least, in the meantime, by all means, keep going to GPs and not playing. It'll be fun.
Yep.
I mean, play if you want to, but if you don't, just show up. You make it more fun for the rest of us.
Yep, I'm there. I usually never playing.
I'm not going to be playing. We'll hang out between rounds, or during rounds. It's way better.
Yeah.
We'll hang out while those people are busy, and then we'll go get pizza or something. During that first awkward few minutes when everyone's rushing over to find their name on the chart, or they're checking their phones and hoping they have signal. Yeah, you don't want to be in that part. You want to sit back and just watch it happen.
Because it is actually really fantastic to kind of watch the poor bastards like just panic. that look of just dread and determination all together. It's rather fascinating, and you should join us.
Like, if you really want to see someone's soul break, you can observe that one poor soul whose deck goes to time in one round.
Yeah.
And so they get stuck in the always goes to time bracket, which does exist in big tournaments.
Yep.
Because you just keep pairing up people whose decks can almost but not quite get there. And these people will never eat.
Yeah.
They've given up. They're on the magic diet now. No, it'll be fun. Like, it'll be great. And so, like, what are some of the events that you're going to be at over the next month or two? I'm going to work to get this published by this weekend, so this will be relevant for some people.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to a lot of stuff. A lot more than I think I am going to be prepared for. I'll be at GP Charlotte for sure. if you're in the California area, I'll be at Fanime, which is a fantastic anime convention. After that, I can't remember what GPs are next. It's Columbus. I'm going to Gen Con and a lot of other, all the Star City games, pretty much, run GPs. Denver.
Is that what got you to East Coast instead of West Coast during Modern Weekend?
Yes. Thank you, Star City Games.
Like, that's something that I noticed. Like, oh, look, we've got two Modern tournaments in the U.S. in the same weekend. I hope my friends from the West Coast betray their Pacific Ocean and come visit me.
It's funny. A lot of the artists are, like, a bunch of the West Coast artists are going over to GP Charlotte, and a bunch of the East Coast artists are going over to L.A. It's like we're doing the switcheroo on that.
Like, we're just playing Red Rover.
Yeah.
Just across the continent.
Of just, you know, but GP Charlotte should be really amazing.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Last year was really great. I had so much fun. Everybody's so nice over on the East Coast down towards the South.
Is it different on the West Coast? I've not been to any Magic events over there.
It's just a different vibe. Like, they're both nice, but different reasons. And mm-hmm.
Is it, like, more tournament intense over there, or is that a Universal thing?
It's a Universal thing, that's for sure. It's just a different hospitality.
Okay. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm not playing. It'll be great. We'll hang out. I'll drop by, and I'll see you during the rounds, because there's not going to be anyone else to talk to. Mm. It'll be fun. Which costumes should I look for if I want to find you, or is that still a mystery?
No. Friday, I'll be Noble High Arc. And then Saturday and Sunday, I'll be Addison the Purifier.
Are you going to stand on more people? Because I've seen that you do that.
Oh my god, that is one of my favorite things about Japan. It's so weird, but at American conventions, when people take pictures, they're almost like, in a way, like more, they're more conventional and more formal.
They just sort of like stand next to you posing vacation pictures.
Yeah, but the Japanese, they always ask for like really weird, crazy things. And the thing that has to happen, though, is that one person has to ask for the crazy thing, and then everybody sees, oh, she's okay with that. And then it doesn't stop. And so for the next 2 hours, I'm doing the weirdest fucking poses, and it's great. Because I never get to do that.
Yeah, I can believe that. My experience with Japanese fans in particular is that they're very careful about finding out where the boundary is.
Yeah, they 100% are.
But once that's been identified by the one person who has the guts to ask if you'll maybe run them through with a spear, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I also want to be run through with a spear. That'll be great.
Yeah.
It won't be rude to ask, because now this is okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. The vibes at Japanese conventions are so different compared to American conventions. It is so fantastic.
Okay, cool. And I guess before we wrap up, since we've gone through like a number of the things you'll be at, you mentioned some conventions that were coming up that are not Magic events, but they're actual conventions.
Oh, yes.
What are your favorite costumes to wear completely unrelated to Magic? Because I presume you got into cosplay through the other end first.
Oh, yes. My very first costume ever was Sailor Venus from Sailor Moon, because I was obsessed with that back in the day. Still am.
You and many others.
Yeah.
And now you've got Crystal, so everyone cares again.
Oh my god, yeah. A lot of people bitched about that too, and it upset me. It's like, just be thankful you're getting more Sailor Moon, you crybabies. But,
Well, it's weird. We're getting new Sailor Moon, we're getting new Dragon Ball. Like, we're just rolling back to the early 90s.
It's beautiful. And people just need to be happy and just roll with the nostalgia and not be so angry. God, what am I... I'm doing a bunch of new stuff this year that I'm excited about. Like, I finally got a Zero Suit Samus, and that's not even anime. That's one of my it's Super Smash Brothers, which is one of my all-time favorite games ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually really comfortable, which is almost unheard of in cosplay.
Well, yeah, because you're not wearing, like, the Varia suit. You're wearing what you would wear under the Varia suit.
Because a bunch of people are like, oh, do the armor. And I'm like, how about you do that? And you tell me how that goes. But
I did witness an absolutely amazing Samus costume at Dragon Con last year. The poor girl, though. She was in the full armor, but it's Atlanta.
yeah,
in the summer.
Just
like, that's
dying.
Miserable.
Like, I feel hot. Like, I literally can feel her pain just from hearing that story, because I know.
I've worn a number of costumes. So the weird thing is that when it comes to anime-based things, if we're making broad generalizations, obviously millions of exceptions, but broad generalizations, the female costumes tend to have a lot of weird pieces on them, but be inherently more body-showing, more form-fitting. Yeah. Whereas the male costumes, you're wearing like a cow. Like, that's where the super bulky armor and the really heavy coats and all the stuff that doesn't breathe comes from. You don't really get a lot of the inverse on this. And I've yet to do a costume that is not miserable in the summer myself.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so excited for Samus. Like, I'm actually not going to hate myself after her.
Will you have feet that you can walk on by the end of this?
Yeah, I actually got comfy ones too. Like, it's crazy. I'm actually not going to be like, why do I cosplay? Like, question my sanity after the costume, and I'm very excited for that.
Well, good. I'm glad you'll get a chance to have fun with that. And then the other thing that I wanted to ask is, so when you go to magic events, people know you.
Yeah.
Or at least they know of you. When you go to another convention where most people are in costumes, do you enjoy sort of blending in with the crowd a bit better?
100%. It's so much more relaxing than feeling like you're like a statue to be.
I mean, I guess it's different because at a magic event, you're expected to be there and people are expecting to find you during scheduled times and you don't really get to wander.
Yeah, like I'm kind of like tethered to a booth that I can range only so far from. And one of the only girls there, there's still a ton more. Mm-hmm. But then I, you know, then I'm like wearing something like Noble High Arc where I've got like a plunging neckline almost, you know, past my my belly button. So you're just
To Wizards' credit, they've avoided going super scandalous by and large for Fantasy Art standards.
Yeah, actually, I always thought this was really strange. But people are like, I really like how you choose very modest costumes who don't play Magic that often.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's just Magic. Like, surprising enough, it's a fantasy game that could be worse, you know. But
well, I mean, when you're looking at the main three female planeswalkers are going to be Chandra, who is essentially wearing armor,
yeah,
Elspeth, who is wearing mm-hmm. armor, and Liliana, who is sort of in the role of the sexiest of them, but she's wearing corsets and
but
stuff.
She's still
it's not
pretty
like it's
covered,
super light
though. It's not, I don't think
it's more in the way that she carries herself, yeah. It's a lot more the actual mood that she creates.
It's the stigma.
Anything about the costume.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the stigma of just being, she's a dark sorceress, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna just kind of have that kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of vibe.
And I think that's a lot of the fun of it, is that Magic as a game, if you ignore all of the people playing it, does a remarkably good job of gender balance.
Especially in the last few years. They've gone just above and beyond just the Call of Duty, because the next summer set, if you will, Conspiracy 2, if you mm-hmm. look at the armor, nobody has that awkward boob plate. They actually have real breastplates on, and that's a huge thing. People are like, oh, I don't like, what is she talking about? Like, go look up boob plates and then go look up a breastplate. Two totally different things.
Not the same. One of which will kill you if you wear it and get hit.
Exactly. And some people are like, well, like, whatever. That's like, who cares? And it's like, no, that's actually a huge thing.
Yeah.
That's actually huge. And it's really amazing. And it gets me. I'm just so excited. I can't wait to build, like, whatever that chick who looks like Brienne of Tarth in the new Conspiracy art.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the big blonde chick and like her sexy, huge head to toe suit of armor.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I do appreciate Brienne of Tarth also making massive steps in the world of, no, really, she's going to beat the crap out of you.
I love her, and I'm glad that she's, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm glad she's still alive in the TV show and not missing or. Most
yeah,
like
we don't even know in the books.
Yeah, no
point.
Idea the, where what's
the books aren't
to.
Telling us anything.
So, spoiler.
Well, I mean, is it like
alive.
We don't know? Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
It's not like you're even holding back.
Then I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you've read the books, we don't know.
we don't know.
That's all we can tell you. And if you're watching the TV show, you're past the books now, so quit whining. Who knows?
God, I love that show.
Okay, well, I think I've kept you probably longer than you planned on talking about it, but it's been a fun conversation. I appreciate it.
No, I'm so happy that it wasn't just like the same five questions. So, when did you start cosplaying? What's your favorite costume? Exactly. So thank you. That was it was refreshing.
And so if people want to follow you on Twitter and pay attention for all of these crazy adventures, it's at C Sprinkle Run, right?
Yeah, it's a play on C Spot Run.
Mm-hmm. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes so people can find it.
Thank you. But yeah, I post a lot on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook sucks, but
it is nonetheless a giant monster.
Yeah, it's like you have to have it, but, you know, you can find me anywhere. C Sprinkle Run.
Yep. And again, I will find you at Charlotte and we'll hang out. It'll be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, in that case, thank you. And we'll hold back. If you're listening and you would like to share your ideas for what you'd like to see at a magic convention, you can go to enchantworld.com, go to submit your story, and go ahead, just record it right there. There's an app built in. If you're on a mobile device that can't work with the app, that's fine. Just record it through whatever sound recorder is on it, and you can just send that to planeswalker.squee@gmail.com, and I'll go ahead and add it in. Once we have a good collection of them, I'll release another episode following this one up with other people's ideas, and we can show Wizards what we'd like to see. And then I assure you, as someone who works in marketing in real life, they love it when people just give them feedback like this completely out
100%.
There. Like, here, enjoy. Consider this free metrics. They love that. Completely free. We make no claim of ownership of your suggestions. Go with it. It'll be great. And so with that, we'll sign out. So thank you very much for joining.
No, thank you so much for having me.
The music featured in this episode comes from the album Bridges of the South, released by Cousin Silas and Black Hill under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. The introduction and lead-in to the main interview features clips from the song South. The music that is currently playing me out is called Bridges. You can find these and other songs from this album at blackhill1.bandcamp.com. The entire album is amazing, and you should definitely check it out.